The Witch of the Nile laid in a box of provisions for you. It contained everything you would need for your stay in her training facility. To be a model, to be a training dummy, to be the length that turns someone made to make lengths yearn into a better seductress, seducing her in turn with the fact that you arrived to this training just as commanded. Denied, horny, in need of that heated release which supplies so much sensation, and then the absence of that pining, aching sensation you get settled in. The chambers have soft furnishings, couches, entertainment, a bed, there are books, there are any number of chaste amusements, famous for making good boys horny and denied by their unsalaciousness. And there's a dim red terrarium glow to the bedroom, to the bathroom, to some of the places near the counters. It is in one of these that you first see, mistaking her for a fleshlight, for there are plump, sculpted vaginal lips, for there is a small, recessed clitoris, which before your very eyes swells, the sign that something alive from her collection of the transformed, the gorgeous, and the skillful. Someone is here to train as expected. Something, someone, a good girl escaping. You use that language advisedly, for a note is tucked in with the provisions. Rule 1. Good boys do not masturbate. Rule 2. Good boys do not hump, thrust, jostle, or grind. And you know that any attempt to reinterpret to a wider list of verbs would do nothing to endear you to her. You will not thrust, hump, grind, oscillate, gyrate, or push your turgid pole into her soaking hole, for the third rule is, you will be milked, in bold. You will be milked, and then the rest, but only in the mornings. And since morning has passed, you will have to wait at least until the next day you wonder. You're not allowed to masturbate. You're not allowed to thrust. Milking is an activity. But you are more than aware enough of her usual games to know that doesn't mean climax. That doesn't mean you'll get to blow and let it all flow in a hot, breeding, baby-making impregnation of that tight, organic, curiously still good girl who is your roommate. You never see her move. She seems to draw a great alluring delight from being arousingly positioned, and, in a way you know will stick in your associative memory later, she is always limned by that red and piercing light. Whenever you spot her, glistening, so her own color is harder to ascertain, warm, she radiates warmth for your sitting next to her on the couch at one point, or she appears on a towel, a bottle of lube nearby. She is more than enough to contain your capacity, perhaps perfectly sized for your length, which you place a blanket or a pillow over your lap to hide the fact that morning wood is no longer confined to the mornings, after you went too many mornings without doing what you would do if you had no control, if you were a bad boy with unmasturbated glands, flooding testicular sacs to turgidity, to rigidity, to the firmness of the outer wall, both the defense of your demesne and the prison trapping good boys with their pleasure. Well, trapping them with their pressure. Pleasure might be a little much when it's as pining inside, when the sensations are so insistently constant that resisting them requires a conscious act of will and distraction, and she's there to break that distraction laying out on a towel with lubrication dripping from her, as if she were simply made for this. Simply made to awaken delight, to make that ache more poignant, because it could end. Of course, a good boy doesn't know how to slide inside of her, isn't dreaming and fantasizing. Well, I guess he can fantasize about whatever he wants. Good boy. Hard. Thick. She's laying in one place or another, dripping and glistening as that hard, hot, projecting, rigid stick sticks to the inside of his clothing. She, too, is leaving a little wet spot, but she laid out a towel, or one was already there. Little resting places have actually been made for her all over the place. All over her lair. Her pussy lips are bigger, plumper than life. The length of her slithering sleeve body, with its wet pleats and deep petals, with its little dips and recesses, its obviously twining and mobile passage. There's a skill there in the way she moves only when he's not looking. And her presence, therefore, seems all the more constant. She never seems to move, so it's easy to forget whether she's been next to you or just showed up in the middle of whatever you were doing. Seductive, drippy, wet, thick lips that slowly let supple drips of silken, smooth finery, of the silken anointing she would put on a good boy's pole as it went from good and controlled to bad and uncontrolled. Your inflated glands would hold her on you, stretching her inside. It looks like if you slid in and filled her out, she would no longer be able to deny, because there are little dips and divots in her shape, in her design. So sliding inside, sublime, your thickened glands spreading her, warmly moving, your hands down to support her. But you can't thrust, so you can't bust the slow escape of what's inside, of what you trust she might milk out tomorrow. After all, why would you misbehave? Milking will occur in the morning. You always knew you might break a rule against filling something so perfectly made, so predisposed to drool at the sight of your morning wood, maybe? But certainly at the sight of the erection there right now, she's made to please it, made to tease it, made to please it and be too much overcome by it. Even you know firsthand that when you slide into something warm and soaked, into something built for you to sully its silk with your sticky sweet candy spurts, seed over layer of thick sticky seed in a deepest point, just what she needs if she wants it badly because it feels amazing. Which it better, if she's going to be that dedicated, that good. You watch her undulate. You imagine that movement on your still good boy cock. Your length prepared by training and nature. She prepared by her nature and by her training. Fertile wanton folds that could slide over the other head. Not the one with your brain in it, but maybe the one you're thinking with. So perfectly made to cover the sticky pulsation-pumping device, the sperm-producing vice, squeezing around you, milking you out. Layer of seed after layer of seed is just what your length is about. Sperm dispersed, allowed to flow over her fertile silken fields. But right now your thoughts are out in the fields of fantasy, instead covering you. You wait, you wonder, if you went early to bed, would you sleep long enough to get to feel those silken... Distracting yourself, virile boy, this is only because of how denied you were. Good boys know that waiting is hard, but the rewards of waiting are sometimes worth it. And it is this proposition which spurs him on, thinking with one head, which one, who knows, maybe both are long gone with desire for her. Good boys plow fertile fields, and she's there to be plowed and spermatically irrigated, spurting over furrows long prepared. Maybe she's waited as long as you. Yes, good boys sometimes assign yearning to a girl who is so obviously in control, to a slithering entity in the terrarium red glow, glowing in the dark. She waits for you. You know she waits for you because you were told the time, given the time, appointed to let it wind, desperate and warm, flooding the field, allowing the storm. This is the flood farming where excess irrigation, excess spermatic expression, your excess frustration is allowed to pool. It will slowly be absorbed by the fields below. You know that glow of glistening, gleaming heat on her, that sheen of her soaked wetness, is contrasted only by how dry the tip of you is. Comfortably, naturally lubricated, good boys take good care of every aspect of their physical instrument, I'm sure. But there's one place attention may flow a bit more. That length, that penile protrusion, that device which is your way of expression, the only lustful language between the two of you, the only one with an answer anyway, will be the language of the thrust and the throb. She's laid out in perfect position for you to sit down and masturbate with her if you did thrust or move or pick her up. She seems to be slowly moving closer when you look away, but she never quite touches you. A slower movement each time, half as far as the last, getting slower, infinitely slower as she approaches. Speaking of slowness, of gravity, of the physical effect of Zeno's paradox that the approach always takes one more step unless you simply zoom out to a bigger scale. You are the pole, good boys are the pole, good girls are the hole nearby that does what it's allowed and nothing more, right? She is the answer, the well. Just as there are wells in gravity, pillars of upward aching glands. Your erection inside clothing, good boy erections are monuments to the unmasturbated source below, to the stuff that would jostle and flow, the pining, thronging masses of stuck together, swimmers begging to impregnate silken folds, holding, and it holds. Hot and deep. A good boy, concerned with the slippery safety of his glands, knowing he wants her on it, if she slithered her form along his length, those lips kissing the tip, he would allow it. And that is the premise of the experiment. Rule one, no masturbation. He must hold his sperm storage, even though she can likely finesse the lock open, with keen senses tapping from below. Oh, she has tapped, resonated, felt and vibrated. Something in the back of his mind feels hot, feels echoing. There's a need there. The pole you have, you want inside, milked across her silken slide. Rule one, no masturbation. Good boys don't touch. Rule two, no thrusting. Good boys don't do anything that might make them go bust at this particular slow application of sensation. Teasing, denial floats in the air around her. She looks like, smells like, sounds like sex. With every slick movement, he thinks of what would happen if he squirted to the deepest depths of her slit, of her wantonness. Charges. Slow increases in how charged a good boy's body feels. The electricity of denied revelation, of knowing the nature of the coming temptation, and the spring-loaded spermatic charge, charged like a load of ammunition, because the powder is very achingly ready to blow, to expel and propel sweet sperm along channels and passages, yearning, achingly hot, and yet the only thing that can put out the burning fire inside of her is squirted, slopping, slipping, sliding, pining, interrogating seed, making her full and fertile, exactly what she needs, exploiting the fertility rather, as he would slather, you would slather, good boys slather goo, aching ooze inside of you. Those pussy folds, imagine if you lost the moment she slid onto you because you're so denied. A good boy so denied and so supplied with ammunition for getting into trouble, for ways to burst that good boy bubble and end up so, so bad. It seems like no time at all until he's there, in bed, laying down, erection just barely flagging, just barely bearing down. Heated crown inflating, it's like bait for her. He hangs out there. The witch's many silken toys would delight to get hold of you, good boy. This is what the glistening in the dark seems to whisper. But before he knows it, even though he tries to watch for the moment of her approach, pleasure. Up close he sees it, a drooling pussy, as she touches a thigh. Good boy turns his eye, but is so languid on the cusp of sleep, and not wanting to run her off. Something of desperation has begun to seep into your brain. So her dance says, communicating like a bee, she might cling to you even more. If you were to drip and drool before she gets on it, so no matter how sexy it is that she has that plump opening, that small recessed clitoris inflating, she's going to feel so good. How long will this milking go? Will it be a lingering smooch grabbing your glands, her slithering body, replicating hands or tongue or lips? But then you see how she slips over the tip, and it's like there's nothing there, nothing too tight, any, oh, until she reaches halfway on, halfway up her long body, which seems like it would perfectly sit against the base of the shaft and kiss the sacs below, the sperm inside induced to flow by her perfect makeout with them. That won't be happening. Good boys love to tug on their length, but this one has gone unmasturbated for such a long, denied extent that when she slips down and you feel a cuff inside of her, grabbing on, rocking back and forth, giving the good boy the tortured denial of his glands below, being in denial even as the tip of his glands is on the flow of her slow, trickling lubrication. She's touching the outside now. She slipped back off. That little cuff didn't latch on. Kissing, smooching, squirming, torment, the pining, pinning, sperm-seeking behavior. He's trying to elicit some saving grace from this hot taste of her. There she is, again, attached, affixed like machinery, like technology made to milk, a churning whirlpool inside as that halfway along cuff grasps and slides, one and two, in and out, good boy thinking only about spilling it all out, the sperm that spouts into her. Her first milking, the morning of the second day, and there's no way you'll last long. Good boy transgressions are coming on strong, savoring the heat and the tightness, a slide inside. She stops halfway. No part of her body, her wet, soaked pleats, her milking movement better than any hand. It has landed with her grasping cuff inside, some more rigid part of her, locking just past the head, so her whole body only goes halfway along the good boy hardness. The thrusting would take him in. She would surely yield. He feels how there's a little bit of looseness that he could push past. She could peel her way down his body until she grasped as the perfect shaft around the sperm-shooting implement, held fast. Her technique is what she's here to train. This is practice, isn't it? His brain insists she must not be trying to make him feel too denied. She's squirming, undulating. Good boy held inside. He can map every one of her outside movements to the way it feels. Here she pushes her body leftward, the sleeve kissing the right side of his head. The glands doing some of the thinking. The slit at the tip parting as though pressure from within were pushing something, anything, energy, ache. Doesn't matter, maybe she's comporting herself like a machine, like a milker, sealing herself vacuum sealed and with the cavitation. Inside her slit slim body, she pulls in mock masturbation. No thrusting by him, but it looks like it. She's moving in a thrusting pattern, rocking on and off as the glands is moving left and right, causing her weight to masturbate him and pulling at the base. A good boy loves to tug on his penis, but he resists. A good boy loves the pleasure that comes after resistance, even if it comes with denied torment. One can savor. And a good boy is taught to savor by things like the warm, wet, soaked silken fertility wrapped around you with no way to say she wants that DNA load to flow, but you imagine she must. It's just that there's no good way for you to make that happen, dreaming of how she might be if she weren't under these rules. Outside of this circumstance, will she lick the head as she slides off? Will she lick it clean after she makes you squirt? Good boys think they're gonna squirt. Aww. You hope not. Torment, pining, pinning, smooching, kissing up and down. She slides off again. She is fearless about taking that cuff off and letting her body push. She has to push, squeezing herself and pushing herself off. Squeeze, sending shuddering rivulets of silken, slick lubrication down the turgid pole, its veiny protrusions, to the balls where they pool below, the liquid anointing those sacred spheres, those storage tanks for the only thing she must care about. Now whether she cares about getting it to spout all over her silken folds with breeding intensity, or cares only about leaving it down there in storage, he doesn't know. Think about how helpless that erect sperm shooter is in her machinery. This level of technology, she's a vacuum-sealed pressure-pleasure pump, infusing the lank with cartridge after cartridge ready to shoot sperm from deep recesses, voluptuous loads spreading over those flooded silken sperm fields, fertile, made to capture even one drop, so the excessive amount that he has denied himself into will render a good boy a very exceptionally, evidently, visibly bad boy when he savors that escapist pleasure, that beautiful sensation of revealing spurt after squirt. The entire length becomes rigid, becomes firm. It is erecting, and he feels that vascular process, that inundation of the tube which would bear his sperm. But her technique yearns to make him burn in denial. Moving the stick slicking machine is moving the stick and squirming, undulating. Her lips kiss whatever part of the shaft they are over, whether she has fastened her internal cuff or not. She never passes the halfway mark, only kissing that far, going no nearer to his balls, lest she be stuck to them. Lest he be stuck squirting the entirety of their contents in the many halls of her folds, of her recesses, of her hidden places. But there's no transgression, no harm in fantasy, in thinking about temptation. The combination of you thrusting and her receiving only exists in fantasies, because he must never thrust, and she'll barely be stroking, right? Morning wood, hard and big, feels like it's separate, feels like a whole different thing. The special first ray of sunrise, the special christening before the day's voyage, supplying fantasies, gentle strokes, no release, constant teasing. She is steering you like an aircraft, going left and right, sticky and drooling, squeezing and dancing, inducing the good boy to think of the past, how he has lasted through so many denials. Did one think that squirting, spurting, betrayal would be the immediate prize? No. She's slipping off. She's slithering away. Oh, the girl falls and brings her lips to kiss his balls. Rolling over one then the other, so she's between his legs in quite a compromising position. It would take almost nothing to lift her up, line her up, and thrust. But whether your hand brings her down upon the shaft, or your shaft goes forward into her. Either would be thrusting. And she's kissing before she goes, a farewell kiss, almost ritual, tormenting kiss. She's under the covers. No way to see it coming. Rapid movements of her as she slides the cuff of herself entirely off. Like she forgot something, she climbs back up to give a good boy kiss to the head of the still unclimaxed sperm shooter that could have bred her so deep she would have been languid with the load. The heavy weight of the sperm inside, waiting to explode, but it didn't. She was flirting with her own breeding. With her own impregnation, her own new DNA information supply. She must want it sometime, but maybe not today. Smooching once more, her tongue against the door, knock, knock, flicking over the sensitive lock at the tip, using vibration to slip the slow, secure, deliberate movement, opening a plush, plump, sucking feeling, pushes its way back down, revealing that the castle keep is flooded with sperm, waiting to flow, that the gate only holds back a damned pleasure that she knows will blow. A heat up to the head and scalp tingles, the boy feels, from any engagement with the glands, the stroking of the supple frenulum, nerve endings at the very base of the balls being touched by the back of her body as she arcs around and slides off with a huge, squelching, impregnated heat. Her engagement for such a flurry of kisses may be called, moves to focus that frenulum, sucking upon it fit to pull it toward her, all his compass point, all the gravity of that well flowing to her, holding there the uppermost point she can suck, as close to the tension building at the tip as can be, and therefore as far from the balls. Spreading penile slit, loading spermatic load, so deep down the stack below, oh, the pining farewell kiss, the sucking secondary, the smooching base brush as she rolls away, and no more. She has gone even further from it, with intention to play again another time. She's gone, he's gone from the mouth of her. If her mouth were kissing the base, if it went past the halfway, it would be able to smooch the balls. He could wear her upon his body, or she ride him, mimicry of cowgirl position. In his memory, a teasing kiss. A pinning kiss. What if she were to put her weight down upon the erection? His fantasies, they multiply. A good boy knows he's still good, but wonders why this doesn't count, when it excites the length so much. Where it is certain that sperm could flow out without a touch if one were too aroused, the almost tantric pressure from within, but this is just imagination, and imagination is safe, so the good boy imagines. But is it just the case that her lips, sticky, slick, and stuck, are gone? Or is she sneaking kisses the same way she sneaks nearer when his attention lapses for even one moment? A seeking kiss, an in-contact kiss, just that and nothing more. Asking for one might get one. It doesn't count. No. He will be milked only in the morning. It's pretty certain that means no stimulation otherwise. She has angled herself away, and with that turgid pole he walks around all day, trying to hold himself at bay as she poses. And today, her lips are spread a little wider. Her turgid form, for it is truly flush, well lubricated, well hydrated. She looks supple and plush, and the silk inside is known to him now, and the world before the temptation, and the world after, are two different words. Hazy daisy across sleep's door, every time he crosses it, nodding on the couch, but midday naps don't count, even though he might wake up erect again. Good boys, remember the rule. You remember the rule, or she reminds you. You wonder sometimes if some thoughts, some sexy, tempting, fantastic thoughts, are her teasing, and that's all it is, whispering in a way you detect as if it were your own. Or you'd be climaxing, squirt sperm into her, yearn to erect in a way that is mechanical, engineered. Your body's made for it. Her body's made for it. Not doing it is the Baroque construct of true denial. Her slick suckling lips begging. Sexy juices. Sweet spot she hit now and then in the morning. Clearly she could have done more with each of them, but she left the question. The riddle without answer. The begging beckon, and the silk of her does beckon him. All day her come-hither motions, moving him toward her, but it's day two of this captivity, and it is longer since the first began in the middle. There is no risk of climax in watching her, even in imagining. Seldom would one climax without intending it. Seldom would one, unless you were much worse off. If she'd sucked too much or gone all the way to the balls, certainly today all bets would be off. That the sperm would squirt and practically spurt her off, remembering the way she squeezed to push herself off the erection. She wouldn't be able to do that if it was soft. Would she just be latched around such a thing? Is that a weakness or a special feature of her skills? Her hunger expresses itself in thick fluids, which are obviously pooling at her entrance. But do good boys notice how thick a girl's fluids are, or has he been transgressing? Staring. Hunger in close convulsion. Good boys think too much about what the girl on their shaft would be doing were she allowed to be on their shaft. That's normal. A pull of her suction at the base as he rises, the morning of the third day, eyes fluttering, but the body has already somehow been erected beyond mere morning wood. Oh, he's familiar with that. Good boys are. The cock is inside. The erecting angle, straight up and down, perfectly angled to make it most difficult to express what is within, for it must fight the perfect up and down of gravity. And that erecting angle, if it were diagonal, would be better for her, too, for she could use the rocking to jostle herself on and off, the simple fulcrum of his tip, locked in that simple shackle. That muscular ring inside her is the thing that lets her ride and move. Sweet spots touching only half the itch, only half the ache. The other half of the tingle is a thirst that good boys can't slake. You'd have to thrust, or hope she lets you. No, it's pointless for good boys to dream away out of this predicament. Some problems can only be solved by good, good boys. Or by bad, bad girls. All those little swimmers waiting to misbehave. Waiting to be led into misbehavior by the mechanical erecting of the shaft and the spermatic letting fly of what she'd do if she did more than go half-mast along a good boy's hardness. Down from the inflated glands. Suctioned movements, weighty strokes, deepest ducts awake. The strained seminal glands buzz on, containing what's been denied from dawn to now. She didn't do it right at dawn. She waited till you ached for even more, knowing she'd awaken you, but going slow. No awareness of when she slithered under the sheets, or if she was there all along. The luscious seed yearns for relief, but she's been playing with it, singing the siren song of a vibrating, shaking body, with a firmed-up little grip, a cuff inside halfway along, that keeps her from sliding even further. The virile toy, the training model, keeps the cock perfectly straight, the good boy angle, angle which does not allow a thrust even accidentally, angle with no slack in it, the angle. There are an infinity of angles at which penises fall or deflate, but only one at which they stand perfect, obstinate. An angle which does not allow even an accidental thrust, the angle which would be squirting deepest into her to a spot most fertile, most desperate. It feels different, squishing against the tip of him as though made to massage it, scorching her with the pleasure from him so she slides back, unable to stay there. There'd be no way for her to avoid revealing it when she shakes like that and her juices get more copious. His pulsations evoke more from her, so she's maximally aligned to milk perfectly pointed at silken pleats of soft, sweet smoothness, which would and can only make him feel good, made for it the virility and making of good expressive explosive spermatic spreading, slickened DNA spurting, sac emptying good growth. You think for a moment about what kind of rules she might be under, but the presence of such a dangerous thought makes her jerk to and fro, distracting you up and down the length. Unpredictable chain reaction, parts of her trying to right themselves. She has sloshed too readily, slicked too quickly, kissed too deeply, sucking the undershaft and going just 1 inch past the halfway point. He groans, because it has been so long. That single tiny, tiny amount past the halfway feels amazing. The entire erection has been out in the open air, brazenly exposed, as she watched it shiver, as she held parts of it warm, giving preferential treatment to just one part. Unfair. Swimmers trembling with trepidation, yearning to flow. The body yearns to allow the flow. It is like there is a pressure from within. It is the choice of the brain to hold, but there's more than one head at play. There might be more than one set of priorities, making it spurt and squirt and spray sperm that would fly high if not constrained. Inside, her bulging capacity. The veins of the cock standing firm. She only ever kisses halfway, but she went just a little further, till she pulled back. The toy she's being made to train on today might be a different size or texture. Certainly, its innate heat, its thick, denied state, the unmasturbated, churning things inside the balls waiting in the wings to make her think of that and nothing more. She's thinking of that and nothing more. Maybe one could think that from the way she keeps knocking at the tip with her pleats, rubbing that special place at the perfect angle, beautiful, layered. The veins on her echo veins on him, spreading and matching, pushing wide, both organic and throbbing and engaged in a process as natural as it is forbidden. You can't let your plentiful lust make luscious designs become reality. They must be locked in fantasy, fantasies good boys cannot stroke to. Tasting her with the full length is such a temptation. Would it be worth one thrust? Not yet. Not at these prices. Not with the punishment unknown. Slick, sliding, slipping on and off, the sticky juices currently are the only cost that the bed will be so sticky below. He didn't think to make her take it while he's laying on his side, or while you're on hands and knees, sliding in and out, waking to it, squeezing her off of you. Did she milk you pleasurably as you invited? Did she please you for a while and you fell back asleep from the joy of it? Certainly you want to be inside her. You make it clear how much fantasy and how much, oh no, it's real. That erection is very sticky. And she's leaving. She's slithering away without cleaning or licking it clean, leaving you in the wet spot, the proof of how horny you made her, how aroused she was. But what she was, well, with you, it's not what you were, it's what you are. Pearlescent sperm spurt machine, cum shot gleam in your mind as well as in your balls. The glisten of a future where she falls to temptation and pleads for thrusts or makes you do them by grabbing and pulling, and you would join with gusto if she transgressed, obviously first, inciting you outside appropriate hours. You would not let her go to her punishment alone. You would gallantly save her by joining her, by moving forward and back, by throwing her a bone in the form of your firm, squirting, impregnating length inside a passage made for it, unbowed, unbent, watching for signs of your own turning her on, as you move with that erection, showing it off now instead of half concealing it, assuming she's doing what she wants to do. She is nearby when you shower. If you adjust your body purely because your balls keep throbbing and the morning wood itch stays all day long and makes them throng near the tip or near the furthest point the sperm can get to without escaping what is made to contain it, to create the same morning wood effect all day long, well, after the fifth, sixth adjustment of wood, you notice she's always there. It's too firm. It's aiming the wrong way. It's obvious she's doing this. What can you say? She's gone. Every time one fully awakes and when you go to bed at night, And when the fourth day dawns, the room is hot. The room is awakening. From morning when one could only remember the tormenting kiss, the way she squeezed so tight like this and called you her slicked up artist's model. Her perfect expression. The block of marble, but the contents are molten. A half stroke is not enough to shape it, not enough to fire it. The clay is never in the vessel, just squeezed in heat. Ideal perfect denial. Until you are fired hard in her kiln. A vase, an amphora, bearing ambrosia fit for a goddess anointing your tip. She certainly seems, in pride of place, the place of her dreams, as she mounts, as she holds herself, sliding that ring around the very tip so she's almost standing. You know it can't last. You know the gravity of her will come to pass upon. Yes, the room you both occupy is hot, the flame of lust, the pressure vessel. Within it, she grinds down from the tip, squeezing tight enough that she rubs every pleat, every inch against your hardness, a rubbing mating ache, a heat, a rut, whatever one calls it is the same, gravity, the well and the pole, moving thoughts and body inexorably toward becoming whole by slipping the tip of you into her hole. Breathing, reading her signal. Reading each other's signal in each other's presence, wearing away obstructions, hang-ups, resistance. By degrees one wears away those barriers slow entwining, and that is why she goes slow. Snapshot captures of perfect moments, documenting the slowly forming statue, the perfect fired pillar inside her, documenting as it takes shape. This is about finding the denial point, the unfinished moment, the second the good boy's on edge, the finest edge of spilling the seed which exceeds one. Stroke. Two. She does it by relaxing her insides, squeezing with the same motions she'd use. Two. Three. To dis. One. Two. Three. Pump. 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 The same motion she'd use to disengage from you, to raise her body. Her living, wonderful folds, squeezing with hunger. Your need to breed meets her need to tease your seed. Milk the sperm and make it yearn. Pull it up against the pneumatic, sealed, pressurized base. The thing that he can't face is that there's no way to become a finished sculpture till she lets herself fall. And halfway is no way at all. So eventually she's going to fall and maybe bring him to his fall, one of those many angles at which a penis does not stand but begins to fall, flexing the erection unconsciously. You remind her you're not a statue but an artist's model with living body and living needs. Even artists' models take breaks, but maybe you'd take a break from the rules, and what would she do? Could she pull off fast enough? The way she responds to your sudden flexing tells you there's no way she would, shaking all sleep from your mind. One who takes breaks too often doesn't get asked back, but one who lets them step on him too much is a doormat, so you don't make her stop. A good boy stays within the rules and squeezes his cock in a way that maybe fools her into thinking he's thrusted, 'cause she checks her little cuff, checks the measurement, checks if she has slipped again. She remembers yesterday slipping again. Placed deep inside her half perch, the glands inflates, makes her bulge, hits a pleasure center. She loses her hold, vibrates, and slips even further. The deeper places inside, the yearning freezing. And she does. She completely stops. A stilled, perfect sculpture, not touching at all. This is a test. If he moves, that's thrusting. Good boys have to stay throb. There is a heat from her. Her folds are moving, but just the microscopic movements of her body breathing. She is still. This is lust without motion. This is a shaft halfway caught. This is a tableau. She is potential energy. The poised stuff at the tip of the spear. Sliding down to be sperm stuffed, to be flooded within into every vessel, the sweet agony of his vessels holding for her, Because if he spilled it, his fun would be over, her fun would be over. This entire thing depends on her resisting her desire to stroke him, and the good boy resisting the urge to spurt or do anything that might make spurting closer. Stay still. Stay still. He inflates the glands. Can't help it. That little squeeze toward the base that makes the whole thing prepare to thrust or bulge. The small amount of voluntary muscle at the very tip that, if the erection has begun to slip, might firm it up. This is a denial art exhibition. Statues do not move. She squeezes tight, so tight that any further movement is impossible. Suffering, sticking, swaying. It would be so obvious if he let it out now that you have sought pleasure, that you have thrusted. So you try to get distracted, try to take your mind off it. Her slicked opening is perfectly virilely penetrated, vital pearlescence, and she's 3/4 of the way down, but not the whole way. There must be techniques that go right to the base. Techniques he would not be prepared to face, so he better be glad that she's sucking like a straw, pulling the sperm up the tube to yearn and burn in the edges of his cum-tube interoception, his awareness of pressure, of the deep, deep valleys of that seed. But they are pulled, pining and suctioned, and then she releases her suction. She opens herself up, releases that cuff, which lets air flow in, opening the vacuum seal and letting all that yearning, burning, tingling, wiggling load fall back into the main reservoir below with a splash, a gush, a pressure against the walls. The opposite answer, as though the balls were flooded with more seed than before. Maybe they'd even begun to make a little bit extra to replace what went up the straw. What got pulled to her by her phantom draw. Thickness pours out of her, her juices uniquely wonderful. She's not forbidden fruit. She is fruit selectively available to look at, to taste a little, but not, certainly, certainly not to eat one's fill. She doesn't even get to eat her fill. She doesn't get to be full. She cannot, in fact, hide behind his lack of knowledge. He knows what she feels like. Her slow, half-hearted touches stroke. Pause. Pump, pump, pause. Her gentle touch against his thigh as she slips off, breaking contact, breaking the tableau. Good boy holding out so long and pleasure still. Down below, he knows this is a trap. But if she's done, he better get up. He better start the day. Sitting up on the edge, he does it anyway, moves to the edge of the bed and sit. She slides into place on his pole, her first contact, gentle, chaste, and thoughtless, almost a re-engagement, an invitation to dance. He guesses that the rules allow for this. It's morning. It's still morning. Whatever she does on his length, she's allowed as long as it qualifies up and down as milking kiss, chaste, stroke, stroke, pump, 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 stroke. Slip onto the shaft, inch by inch, degree by degree, the smooth smooch of kissing, of craving, leaving wet spots, engraving the pleasure into him. From her, the truth and honesty of the pleats near her entrance, shuffling and squeezing, pulling and locking. The vice grip inside is shocking in its intense licking. Any pussy may kiss a shaft, but only hers may add tongue. A long night of hardening, sweating, slickening, relaxing, repeating. This is so similar from night to night, it might be hard to realize which one you're at. Patterns, which will always repeat, adding new steps, step by step in her pleats, halfway inside her. She's on, hanging off the tip. She kissed but went no further, her wanton memory of his ache, hanging from him like a pressure gauge. Like a passive machine made to detect if he should break, if he should engage in impermissible release. He is churning and lodging. His balls never cease their reports of overpining sperm, of overflooding, burning, heated yearning, churning, lodging, balls barely finding anywhere to put the extra ripened seed. trying to order the swimming morass of tingling goo from escaping and squirting into her where it would become part of her, irrevocable, irreversible. He would be a bad boy at that moment. He is sitting, holding on. His erection cannot quite reach the good boy angle where it's hard to climax. It is already diagonal because sitting up on the edge of the bed made a different position than laying down. To move herself, the lip-like parts of her squirm and point downward toward the balls. She goes fractionally further on but pushes herself off, leaving slithering slick juices, silken reminders of deeper silk inside. A transferable inflation of her because the balls are welling up, but they yearn to well her up with pressure, pressure, tension, pump, pump, stroke, stroke, pump, pump, stroke, 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 more for good measure, pump, 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 sweet, slow, stilling herself, freezing herself. This is worse than when she was milking. Now she's doing all these tricks, like hang like a pressure gauge. The good boy's job is to be a good boy. No way to hold back while she's on him. Not like a toy, but like a purpose-made professional model. A mannequin in a dress shop. A dummy. Or in this case, a perfect and living example that is only so good at his job because he's a horny, perfect living example. Nothing says he can't fantasize, though, except that right now, that might be very dangerous. Sliding, she stills herself like a pressure valve, and she seems to inflate. Her juice is growing more copious, or she's preparing for some pressure-based technique. This living length is harder for her pussy to squeeze around than she's ever been used to, so slippages and shakes, vibrations that almost slake him into releasing an inseminating shot, making him docile would be a good trick, but it doesn't seem to be a trick she's got in her repertoire. Pressure, pressure, pleasure, pressure, forming as she begins to press her body against you toward the base as she begins to savor a good boy's slow, swelling pace. You know you're a good boy. Unlikely to interrupt her fun, makes her even more eager. Come on, hun, you can do it. You can last. The torment of denial makes the boy look for ways out, but she is stuck fast. He's still a good boy for now. Good and thick and hot. Caught. Good job resisting. Can he resist her again? Good job resisting her. Can he resist her now? That itch and ache, sperm, a sweet seduction, a venom that comes from within, a bio-identical poison made only to poison one's reason. Only to gradually bring down the castle from within, the treachery of pleasure, the tyranny of truth, that she would love to work with him, love to go toward pleasure, but he can't stroke, and she can't stroke him, he can't hump, and she can't hump him. You can't do anything to give in. Even giving in is lost without breaking the rules. Normally, at least you can say you surrender, but here, enduring is the whole goal. Whether she's doing it out of a desire to defend the entrance to her, self-defense against feeling too fucked, too bred, too pleasured, too languorous, she'd look bad. This is about decorum for her. But decorum isn't so important that she isn't going to tease you a second time. The fact that she came back, the fact that she was fantasizing about maybe being allowed to be taken, wouldn't she be if you filled her? Fantasize about filling her with abandon. Fantasize about thrusting and busting, allowing yourself to spurt along the passage, all wiggling, escaping, tingling, ripened swimmers, long nested and energized, touching her tightness against her thighs. Against your thighs is heat. Against your thighs is an ache. She'll take every drop you can give and hold it deep inside. Good boy becoming bad boy in one transgressive spurt. The consolation is that it will change her. A tantric infusion of denied, pining, supplied, pleasuring vascular pressure. With the flow of lust, it becomes liquid gold. The gold she wants to hold in her sticky folds, or silken silver, slick and getting you both in trouble. She would be a walking, slithering, squirming girl, exemplar of the knocked-up, coquettishly tempting, fertilized, sperm-flooded example. It would knock her down to size for all her glands to be so filled with the very thing she's asking for. She'd become proof, though. Proof you were a bad boy. Her knocked-up passage would be proof of bouncing, jumping, turning, twisting in the form of her lips, her elongated body, her suckling inside, hiking the pleasure, inflating you where you can't hide. Bringing out your sperm would be an easy thing to do, so maybe you better not tempt her or provoke her, too, fantasizing about being allowed to take her. It's true, she can't wait to masturbate, too. That must be why she's so soaked. She's using you a second time, using you for full satisfaction, while giving you only half satisfaction. Of course, can she get full satisfaction when she only ever gets half a stroke, and you only ever get half a pulse, half a push and pull and tug, pulling the sperm from deep inside, pulling it up from the balls? You're not doing anything but endure. You're not thrusting. You're staying still. White-knuckle grip as the king of the hill, a good boy on the sheets, not dethroned yet. But she is surmounting you. She is abetting you. It is only by her mercy that you do not climax, and that would be your fault, you're sure. She could do more unless the rules are even harder on her. She can't be escaped, hanging like a pressure valve, thirst unslaked, bouncing at most halfway down, toes curled, shivers that won't be beat, unescaped, inescapable, want to come, lying there as she slips off onto a good boy's thigh, provoking you, holding her body still, and then slithering out of sight, leaving a good boy to moan as the pumped, inflated glands prepare to squirt, but cannot. Prepare to squirt, but cannot, are tight and hot and knotted up inside with an ache that's never supplied with an answer. The closest one came, the closest any move she made came, was almost making you squirt when she sucked it like a straw and let it fall back again. And now, alone, ready to start the day, ready to get up, ready for all the teasing on display. Sight after sight, all day into the night. Her, with drippy copious fluids bunched at her entrance, to resemble what she would look like if you did fuck her to completion, if you did thrust to spending, breeding, inflating completion across her folds with so much it almost backs up out of her and drips like a single rivulet of creamy spermatic release. Sperm flowing, little swimmers yearning, trying to get into the glowing, slickened field and folds of her, and sliding right back out, as she kisses them goodbye with her tight lips. Should any of your sperm slip, it would be surprising. Again, later, while in the shower, she's just hanging there, on a shelf that's perfectly level with his erection, so if he went to the vanity, he could almost accidentally pretend he put himself in range of her, and might she not almost accidentally pretend to slide around and get around the rules of the experiment? Both practically panting, both practically aching, a silken pussy, delicious good girl, wants to be bad and taste the full length of the shaft, and the full extent of the breeding heat, the DNA flood, the spermatic sheet to coat her fields, and change the composition of the underlying fundament forever. Which is also the kind of thought a good boy has when tucked into bed with balls so hot, so full, an erection that doesn't go down even at the last moment of waking. And the promise that tomorrow something has to end. Isn't the experiment only supposed to be 5 days? Pump in memory, pump in fantasy, kiss in reverie, smooch in ache. For me, she seems to say, laying next to him in the bed in the dark, but doing nothing but be a heavy, persistent temptation. So now he knows they're both waiting for morning. You're both waiting for morning. But only one is making a tent under the blankets. making plans on how and when to lose on this final day, lest his chance flitter away. Aren't you, good boy? Well, none of my business till the experiment's over.